I love Vegas in the summer.
Have you guys ever been to Vegas? Where do these questions go? Yes, I used to go quite regularly to Vegas, though it's been some time.
I've only been to Vegas to cover the Democratic primary out there.
Okay, sounds like Dan will be a bit more familiar with this, but I want you guys to imagine that you're in Vegas. It's like, say, a week ago. Biden hasn't announced his health secretary or other top health officials or anything. You're in a bar watching some live music. Dan, I'll let you choose here. Are you watching live music from Elvis or Dean Martin?
I'm more of a swingers era Vegas from the 1990s.
Vegas! Dating yourself there.
Yeah, whatever music appeared in that movie.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
That's what I'd have on.
So you're sitting in this bar listening to some swingers soundtrack music. Pretty cool. You just come back from the casino where you guys made a big old bet here. Tyler, how much did you bet?
Say $100, $200.
All right, pretty bold. So you just bet $120 on who you thought would be on Biden's health team. We're talking the heads of the CDC, the health secretary. And while you're sitting there watching the music from Swingers here.
Breaking overnight, President-elect Joe Biden has announced a string of top appointees who could dramatically change the government's response to the coronavirus pandemic.
Biden announces those positions. I'm curious, you guys make any money here? You predict right, or were these choices surprises?
We'd make some money and lose some money. There were some, you know, pretty obvious choices of people that were going to go back into the government, but definitely some surprises. I would particularly point to the Secretary of Health and Human Services as one that surprised many, including me.
President-elect Joe Biden picks California Attorney General Javier Becerra as his Health and Human Services Secretary.
Jeremy, I think I'd get cleaned out. I mean, even the people who ended up where we thought they might end up in the government didn't necessarily end up in the jobs that we thought they'd have. Like the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, going back to being Surgeon General. I don't think that's happened before in the modern era. So it was a surprising turn of events all the way through. And thank goodness for Tyler's reporting, which I was glued to as he updated every twist and turn.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Tyler Pager and Dan Diamond on how the team that'll oversee the nation's coronavirus response next year came together and what sort of turbulence Biden's picks could see as they face confirmation in the Senate. So, Tyler, I want to get into all those twists and turns and putting together the health team and your reporting on it. We now have basically all the top positions announced, among them Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who heads up infectious diseases at Massachusetts General Hospital, as the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Jeff Zients, a veteran of the Obama administration, to be White House coordinator of the coronavirus response, Dr. Vivek Murthy as Surgeon General, and then the one that surprised you, beat your odds in Vegas, surprised a lot of people, former Congressman and California Attorney General, currently Javier Becerra. Tyler, there were a lot of twists and turns leading to that decision on Becerra. Where does it begin?
Yeah, so one of the people that I was told was very interested in the position and made a concerted push for it was New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham.
Good evening, America. I'm Michelle Lujan Grisham, governor of the great state of Nuevo Mexico.
She's a co-chair of the Biden-Harris transition. She was vetted for vice president and impressed Biden's team.
I'm proud of my home state every single day, especially how we have punched above our weight in our successful response to COVID-19.
She was Secretary of Health in the state of New Mexico, so someone that had deep health experience, had a personal story about why she was so drawn to health, losing family members to medical issues. And so she really wanted that position. And then it leaked out that the Biden team had offered her the interior and she turned them down. And that was said to have hurt her candidacy for the HHS secretary. But, you know, her perspective from people that I've spoken with that spoke with her was her heart wasn't in interior. She wanted to be the Health and Human Services secretary at this critical time. And so when that, you know, didn't work out, another person that was seen as a top competitor for the job was Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo.
Rhode Island was nestled between New York and Boston, two hot spots. We are the second most densely populated state in the country. We were among the hardest hit in America. And so we had to get into action.
And we reported that rollout plans were in place for the Biden team to announce her as the Health and Human Service Secretary. The team was ready. And then all of a sudden, those plans, you know, dissipated. It was, this is not going to happen. Our reporting showed that there was some issues on both sides. Progressives were not excited about Raimondo taking that role. But Raimondo and her team also had reservations about her taking the role. Raimondo has two school-aged children, and she made it clear that she only wanted to move to Washington for the right position. And Raimondo's advisors were concerned about the makeup of Biden's health team, and particularly the role of Health and Human Service Secretary, at a time when there's already a COVID office run by Jeff Zients in the White House. But Raimondo's advisors were worried that anytime something went wrong, the HHS department and her would be blamed. And anytime something went right, the White House would be eager to take credit. And so they felt it was a lose-lose situation there, and that she would be tasked with the hardest problems and never get credit for solving them.
Okay, so that doesn't work out either. How then do we end up with Javier Becerra?
Becerra was someone that was looked at for a lot of different positions. There was a lot of pressure from Hispanic leaders and activists who felt Biden didn't have enough diverse cabinet, particularly with Hispanics in top positions. And so as they started to look into his background a little bit more, you know, he was looked at for attorney general, a position not yet filled. And they ultimately decided that he was someone that had managerial experience and also a connection to health issues. They are talking about when he was just graduated from Stanford Law School, he worked at a legal clinic and helped people who needed access to mental health care. He's also taken a leading role as attorney general in leading blue states in the fight against the Trump administration's rollback of the Affordable Care Act. And so they really were connected to his personal story as someone that could come in and play a critical role in shaping the future of healthcare policy in our country.
So now this team is put together with Becerra at the center as health secretary, but all of these picks, or a lot of them, are going to need to be confirmed by the Senate. Dan, do you think anyone could have a problem getting confirmed?
I think Becerra absolutely is going to face a big fight. This is a guy who has been on the record supporting Medicare for All. He has worked on legal cases that were hailed by the left fighting against anti-abortion efforts in California, for instance.
California will defend a woman's health care rights, and we will stand up to any and all attacks on women's reproductive rights.
But all of that fodder that excited people on the progressive side of the aisle is going to motivate, and we've already seen senators like John Cornyn, Texas Republican, Mike Braun, Indiana Republican, come out and say that they think that Becerra is not right for the role.
Our record speaks for itself. We stopped the Trump administration from rolling back rules that aim to deny women access to birth control, and we continue to defend the Affordable Care Act in federal court.
Fairly or not, he has emerged as one of the targets for the right. Meanwhile, Vivek Murthy going for a second tour as Surgeon General, that could be a big confirmation fight too. His last effort to get confirmed was no picnic. That stretched for about a year, halfway through Barack Obama's second term. Surgeon General Murthy had gone on the record warning about gun violence as a public health issue.
There has been controversy around my nomination for Surgeon General around a tweet that I had posted a few years ago after the Newtown shooting, where I said that gun violence is a public health issue. And I said that after Newtown. I'll say it again today.
That would seem to be a no-brainer to a lot of people in the healthcare community, but it got the National Rifle Association incredibly motivated to stop Murthy from being confirmed. As a result, he ended up serving only about 2.5 years and didn't get to finish out his normal 4-year term. So I expect some of those gun issues to come back up in a Senate that may well be controlled by Republicans or will be very close. And because Vivek Murthy served for a bit in the Trump administration, there will be plenty of Trump officials who worked with him, perhaps have some internal documents from the Health and Human Services Department that they will leak in ways to make Surgeon General Murthy look bad as he goes through another confirmation.
Tyler, how would you say that the Biden health team fits more broadly into what we've seen coming from President-elect Biden over the past couple weeks and what we might see from a Biden White House next year?
Yeah, I think it fits exactly with the message that he's trying to portray to the American people, that he is choosing very experienced, senior, and qualified people for the jobs that they are filling, prioritizing people who have been in the type of roles they're filling for the most part. I think Becerra is an exception, but for a lot of these people, they're filling jobs that they've done to a certain extent, whether that's Vivek Murthy filling the exact same job he did in the Obama administration, or someone like Rochelle Walensky, who is an infectious disease expert, taking control of an organization like the CDC, or Jeff Zients, you know, coming in to be a coordinator of a large-scale government effort. And so I think it's a very calculated, planned rollout, in a contrast to how we saw Donald Trump pick his cabinet more than 4 years ago, where he kind of paraded officials through Trump Tower and announced their selections on Twitter. This is a very planned, strategic decision-making process where Biden is gathering with top officials and aides to make the decision based on who he thinks is most qualified and able to lead the government at a time of crisis.
Tyler Pager, Dan Diamond, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Also, today, YouTube says it'll begin removing any videos that falsely claim widespread voting fraud changed the outcome of the 2020 presidential race now that the deadline for states to resolve disputes over the results has passed. The move could put the tech giant at odds with President Trump and his GOP allies in the remaining days of his administration, but it'll be welcomed by Democrats who have called for more aggressive action on the Google-owned video platform. Trump's legal team continues to baselessly claim widespread fraud and push to overturn the election's results, but the passing of the state deadline makes that effort very unlikely to succeed. And the House of Representatives is greenlighting a bill that would make it easier for scientists to conduct marijuana research in states where the drug is legal. The bill passed on a voice vote with strong bipartisan support on Wednesday. It'd remove limitations on researching marijuana and direct HHS and DOJ to create a program that would license additional producers and manufacturers of research marijuana. It's the second piece of weed legislation passed by the House in recent days. On Friday, they passed a landmark bill that would end federal marijuana penalties and erase some past convictions. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, leave us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.